Now, you said your name is Nellie Van Nice.
Yes.
Is that your married name?
Yes, that is my married name.
What was your maiden name?
My maiden name was Falk, F-A-L-K.
F-A-L-K.
Falk.
Did you have anything, or did your family have anything to do with Falk's department store in LeGrand?
As far as we know, not. I've thought about that, too.
Uh-huh.
My family came from Germany, my dad's family.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather came over on a stock freighter from Germany when he was 3 years old.
Now, would that have been in the late 19th century?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And they settled in Iowa. And my dad grew up to 12 years old before they came to Oregon.
And how did they get to Oregon?
Train.
I see. And do you know about when?
1902.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Dad was born in 89.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of 10 children. 7 boys and 3 girls.
And do you know exactly why he decided to come to Oregon?
Well, Grandpa came out. I suppose land, mm-hmm. with a big family.
Yes.
Land was the attraction.
Uh-huh.
And he came out and somehow bargained for a section of land for the boys and one of the girls. But the other girls got $3,000. And the boys came out and lived on this in 1902. Grandpa was out earlier than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Uncle Fred, the oldest, came out earlier than that.
And where exactly was this land?
In the Willamette Valley. Mm-hmm. I suppose I would say now between Albany and Eugene.
And have you seen it? Or did you live there?
Yes. I lived there until I was married.
Mm-hmm. Between Albany and Eugene, was there a little town nearby?
Yes, Halsey. H-A-L-S-E-Y.
Oh, yes. I see.
We were a mile and a half east of the old Highway 99. Of course, that went in later.
And your father farmed the land, did he?
My father farmed the land. And then my uncle, Dad's brother, there's one boy between Dad and this fellow, but he had always lived with Dad on the home place.
Mm-hmm.
And all my life at home, he was with my folks.
Uh-huh. And what crops was your father raising?
Oats, wheat, barley. Some, the wheat was on the upper part of the mm-hmm. good soil,
mm-hmm.
and a little clover, and then quite a bit of corn because we fed it to the cattle.
Mm-hmm. Did you think he made a pretty good living doing that?
We had a real good living, but not much money. And on top of that, when I was probably between 4 and 6, I had a very, very serious illness. No one knew what it was. No one ever found out what it was. But Dad had 5 doctors out of the house. I thought they were business people. And kids didn't ask questions those days. So I didn't know until after I was over all of this illness that they were doctors to see me. One, 4 of them said, no use. 1 of them said, well, there's life, there's hope. So the doctor from Albany said, I will see that a nurse gets out here. So this country doctor took over my case, and the nurse came on the train the next day. Was picked out. She was with me 8 weeks.
Do you remember what the symptoms were?
Like a summer complaint, you know, stomach flu and that kind of thing. It just went from bad to worse, high fever, extreme illness. But somehow I made it.
Did they ever get a diagnosis for what
never,
it actually was?
Never did.
What do you think now it might have been?
I have wondered if it might have been something on the paralysis. I can remember crying and crying and screaming, uh-huh. and the nurse would bathe me in olive oil, put cotton all over me, and they just turned me on a sheet.
So you were really hurting?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Was it inflammation of the skin?
It seemed to be an internal sort of thing.
Do you remember the medicines?
It was folded like a piece of gum, a powder.
A white powder?
A white powder.
That you had to take with
one? Poured in a teaspoon. Uh-huh. Sometime a little dab of syrup was put on it.
Yeah.
That was just about all.
You took that several times a day?
Yes.
What do you think that might have been?
I don't know, something like aspirin maybe. I don't know.
Were you able to eat during that time?
No. That was part of my
So you got very
problem,
weak.
Part of the big problem.
Mm-hmm. And this went on for 2 or 3 months?
Oh, into the next year. Came down with it the morning of Halloween. Just suddenly. And my two sisters had it also. But they rallied and came out of it. And I evidently was old enough to realize that all of these doctor appointments by horse and buggy, sometimes stopping at one side of a mud hole, Dad take the horse and buggy, go down and pick up the doctor, bring him back, take him back to the mud hole. He'd put on the boots and go on his way. Sometimes in the night. Not many doctors this day would
That's right.
would do that sort of
and
thing.
And I'll bet this doctor had his little black bag with him.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was a doctor in a small town in upper New York State.
Mm-hmm.
And he died when I was 10, but I did. I spent enough time with him to realize what a country doctor was like.
Yes.
And how often he went out on house calls.
Yes. He was lots of respect for that doctor.
But I'll bet he was a kindly sort of person.
He
too.
Really was.
Mm-hmm. And he gave you hope.
He certainly didn't. He just stayed right there and I rallied. But they were expecting maybe whatever I had might come back on me. So I was late starting to school. I didn't spend many years in grade school though.
How has it had an effect on other parts of your life?
I think that it made me have an appreciation, even young that I was, of what had been done for me.
And you still retain that appreciation?
Yes, I do.
How do you feel about doctors now?
Well, I have a great deal of faith in medical science. I am disappointed in some doctors, the way they handle it.
Yes. Have you had other illnesses in latter parts of your life?
Oh, yes. Mother said I inherited all the bad things about both sides of the family. I do have lung trouble, and I've never smoked a day in my life.
Is it emphysema?
Asthma.
Asthma.
And constrictive bronchial disease.
Yes, I have that too.
It's not too easy to deal with.
No, no, it isn't.
But I have a deep appreciation for what was done for me. I worked hard at home, but I felt like everything Dad had went to paying my medical bill.
And when were you born?
In 1909.
1909.
Mm-hmm.
And was it there in Western Oregon?
Was it what?
In Western Oregon?
Yes, I was born there, Folsey, on the home place.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And your school, you said you started school late.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to a one-room school when you did enter?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Can you remember any incidents from that? What it was like to be in a one-room school?
Well, it was just like you expected. I had a lot of cousins there because Dad's brothers had come out. And then there was the other side of the family, too, that were involved, and neighbors.
Yeah. So you knew everybody very well.
Knew everybody.
What, maybe 20 or 25 children?
Well, yes, about that.
Do you remember the teacher, or maybe
oh,
more
yes,
than one
I
teacher?
I remember all of them.
Could you describe one you remember
oh,
well?
Yes, she was not a young person. She wore whatever she had to, I think. Teachers were not well-to-do people in those days. They worked a lot for what they were paid, that's for sure. But we thought a lot of them. And I liked this person, a good personality, but she was had a little bit of an afraid sort of idea.
She seemed afraid?
Yes. She always, to be sure, the doors are locked. Somebody was at her screen door, you know, and I had a little trouble with that.
Now, do you mean her screen doors on her home or on the school?
She rented a little place.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And she would come to school maybe with one button shoe and one lace shoe or different colored stockings. Maybe that was color blindness or something like that. But she was just different. And we came to school, even if we had one set of clothes, mm-hmm. we saw that they were clean the next morning mm-hmm. to go to school. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that people were. They were very conscientious about their appearance. And
do you know why?
I think maybe my side of the family sort of did, because it was pretty well known that they were of German ancestry. And that, in the community there, was probably the biggest part of them were. But you'd want to see people from the outside, and they would wonder what you were like.
Do you think people had negative reactions to Germans?
They did, because of the war.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure folks didn't say it in that many words, but they would say, now, if somebody asks you what you are, you'd be sure to say you're an American.
Uh-huh.
And you could sense that they wanted to make sure that you knew what you were.
And did your parents speak German?
Dad did.
But did he speak it at home?
Not at our home. He, when they called the telephone, he talked to his mother in German. In fact, she spoke little English. German came so much easier.
Yes.
Their dad always told about a family in the East that sent their son over to learn to talk English with a big bunch of boys and three girls. And instead of learning English, he learned German.
Did you ever learn German?
No. The folks didn't encourage it.
Did you want to later on?
Yes, I would like to have. Mm-hmm. I really would.
Now, this one-room school, you get there, what, about 8:30 in the morning or so?
Yes.
And then
we walked to school most of the time.
And then you were there until, what, 3 or 3:30?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
Yeah, you bet it was 4 o'clock.
And what lessons do you remember having?
Oh, you had reading, writing, arithmetic, a lot of arithmetic, and in the fifth grade, you had physiology. Seventh grade, you had geography. You had state tests in those two items. And then in the eighth grade, you took tests, state tests in everything. You'd just go there, the test would be open and put before you. And that was it. And I had two sisters. We all got good grades on our tests.
Did you study a lot at home?
Yes, I did. I liked to.
And at that time, was there electricity in your home?
No.
So did you study by a kerosene lamp?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How was that on your eyes?
Well, I suppose it didn't do them much good, but I'm sure that we got the best.
Uh-huh.
They had these, what they called Aladdin lamps,
yeah.
You know, big ones,
uh-huh.
And they made a lot of difference. But Dad was pretty particular about that we had the best lamp to study by.
Where did you do your studying at home?
At the library table in the living room.
Uh-huh. Everybody around the table?
Mm-hmm.
You and your sisters?
Yes.
Yes. And do you think that you were really concentrating on it, or was it partly social?
Oh, we didn't talk very much when we were to be studying, because we were kind of different levels.
Mm-hmm. And the books that you used, were these books that you needed to buy?
Yes, we had to buy everything.
Mm-hmm. So after you finished 1 year, you still had the books from
quite a lot
year.
Of them, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have too many books, I find out now. I like books, though.
Oh, good. I'd like to talk to you more about that. You said you did arithmetic a lot.
Uh-huh.
How was that? What was that done? Did the teacher stand up at the board and write a problem like 6 times 4, and then you write that down and
sometimes
give the answer?
Sometimes it was oral, and she'd call on somebody or point to somebody. And when I read the first and second grades, I think the first day. I don't know.
You mean in the reading book?
Anyway, yes, I.
So you started
caught up.
You started reading early.
Yes, I knew.
Even before you went to school.
Before I went to school, and Dad was real good with math. Although he only got to the 4th grade, he wanted to see that we got more than that.
Yes. So.
And I got to the 5th grade. The teacher sent a letter home with me. Dad was chairman of the school board, and I delivered the letter. I delivered the answer back. And she said, did you know that you're to go into the 6th grade today? And I said, no. Came out of a blue sky. And she said, you didn't know what the letter was I sent home? And I said, no. I said, we just didn't ask questions.
Uh-huh.
If we just knew what we were told. Anyway, I was in the 6th grade, and she had a cousin of mine that was a year older and in the same grade to help me with fractions, and then it just...
And I suppose you were put into the 6th grade because you were such a good student.
Well, I don't know why. I never thought about it. Just never thought.
I suppose, though, being in the 6th grade in the one-room school wouldn't feel very different from being in 5th grade, would it?
I expect not.
Did you have a different
had
seat?
Different books.
Different books, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But same seat?
I can't remember about that. Probably.
I've often wondered whether teachers in one-room schools had the children in each grade sitting in little groups. The 1st graders here, 2nd graders mm-hmm. here, and so on. Did they, or were you all mixed up?
I think usually they fit the desk to the student
mm-hmm.
because there were small desks,
right.
Some that were shorter and longer right. this way. And they had you sit and see what was most comfortable.
Right.
And then for recitation, you know, it wasn't all that big. She had a special row of desks up front where she was.
I see. So she would call, what, 3 or 4 children up for recitation?
Yes.
Would it be, say, all the 6th graders or a mixture?
Yeah. Well, usually be all the same grade.
I see. And what were the other children doing while that group
supposed
recited?
To be studying.
I see.
And I don't think you found very much cheating or not keeping busy.
Discipline wasn't a problem?
Yes, there was quite a bit of discipline.
Uh-huh. It wasn't a problem, though?
Not very often.
Did you
I
think
saw one little fellow spanked because mm-hmm. he got out in the middle of a mud hole and dared the teacher he wouldn't get in line to march
uh-huh.
in.
Would you say that most children came to school and obeyed the rules most of the time?
I think so. I really think so.
So the teacher didn't have to be going around with a ruler, slapping people on the hands or anything like that to keep discipline?
I didn't see any of that.
That's good.
And I'm sure that one time is the only time I saw her get riled up, and she put on her galoshes and went out in the middle of the puddle to get him.
Uh-huh. It sounds as though you enjoyed very much being in that one-room school then.
Yes.
What did you do after that? Did you go to a larger school?
What did I do?
Another school?
After when I graduated from the 8th grade,
yeah.
Dad asked me if I would work for him. I was the boy in the family, the oldest. Dad needed help.
Uh-huh.
And I liked to be outside. I guess I was kind of a renegade. growing up, climbing.
Didn't do the usual girl things?
No, I didn't have any time for dolls. Anyway, he asked me if I would work a year before high school. And of course I was disappointed, but I could see that he needed my help. So I said, sure, I'd do that, but I'd like a promise that I could go to high school the next year. And that was the way it happened.
So what kind of work was it?
What?
What kind of work was it?
Oh, there wasn't anything I didn't do if it had to be done or needed to be done. I milked the cows. I fed the pigs. Poked down the hay for the cattle. Spread the bedding for the cattle. I didn't take care of the chickens. Mother did that. But I did about everything else. I could plow a field. I could plant a crop.
I can see why you say you were the boy in the family.
That's right. We had tractors.
You got very strong then.
What?
You got very strong.
Yes. Yes, I really did. I was really surprised myself what I could do.
Oh, especially after that serious illness you'd had.
Yes, it took a long time to get out of that. And they were very careful with what I did. I had two sisters, milked the cows. Sometimes Mother would send one of them out to stay with me. But it was more trouble to get them to milk a cow than it was for me to get it done.
Yes, I understand that.
I guess maybe I'm just aggressive or something. But
sounds like you were exactly what he wanted.
Well, anyway, when I was not in school, the school had a basket social. You know, old-fashioned, where the gal cooks up a meal and packs it.
Yeah.
And decorates a box, and they sell it for some kind of school projects. And my husband-to-be bought my basket.
Mr. Van Nuys.
Yes.
What was his first name?
Kenneth.
Kenneth.
He was H. Kenneth. Anyway, I didn't think much about that, but it's just somebody to buy a basket. But lo and behold, he came over to see me about the following January, because his other was just before Christmas. Anyway, and I got to know him much better.
How old were you then?
What?
How old were you then?
18.
Mm-hmm. So had you gone to school again in the meantime, between the year that you were working?
No, that year I was working for Dad, but I started to school then. September following that, and I went into Holsey for high school.
So when you met Kenneth Van Nuys right after you graduated from high school?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
He was in college.
I see. Mm-hmm. Where?
At Willamette University.
Oh. That sounds promising.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you thought too? Hmm. Here's an ambitious young man.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And he taught school 2 years. The year, in fact, he taught when I graduated from grade school, he taught the grade school that I graduated from. My two sisters and a whole bunch of my cousins and neighbors.
You mean?
He had enough education to teach, so he wanted to teach to pay for his college,
right,
which he couldn't quite do.
But had he been teaching in this school when you were a student there?
Yes.
Oh. So you already knew him?
No, I didn't know him. I just met him that first year. I knew that a family had moved over there, but I was like everybody else, mispronounced the name. Venice and, I don't know what all we called it.
So he came to see you after he had bought the basket,
mm-hmm.
And what developed from there?
Well, he kept coming every once in a while.
You got the idea that he liked you?
I guess he must have, because I went to school for the 4 years. He went back and finished his college, mm-hmm. and got his degree. And I graduated from high school when he graduated from college. So the next week we got married.
How did he ask you to be able to marry him? What did he say?
Well, I guess about like most anybody would.
Did he just pop it out of the blue, or did you kind of suspect it was coming?
Well, it kind of surprised me because, you know, it takes some money to get off on your own.
Yes.
And we just didn't have it. But we had insisted that we must wait till he finished school. He had a job coming up, teaching. So that first year, we went to the Yakima area and worked in the fruit. I worked like a trooper to make $10.40 a day.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it, picking cherries.
Now, about what year would that have been?
Oh, it would probably have been 30, 31.
Yeah.
The summer.
And those were hard times.
Yes.
For everybody.
Yeah, depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we worked. And I got along pretty well with the picking. We worked for Senator Whiteside in Washington, the Yakima area. And
was he a state senator?
Yeah.
Or
yes.
United States senator?
Yeah.
United States senator.
Yeah.
Which?
Anyway.
Which one?
I think it was Washington.
Washington.
Anyway, when the last day came, we thought, well, that was it. He came by and he said, "Say, I'm looking for somebody that can climb around in these trees and top these trees for me. I want to send my cherries back to Wisconsin, and I want the stems on them, and I don't want my trees ruined." And he said, "It looks like that you could monkey around enough and get into the tops of these
Talking
trees."
Talking to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I got a bonus. And that was a big help to us.
By the way, what kinds of clothing did you wear when you did that work?
I wore overalls, striped overalls.
Bib overalls?
Bib overalls.
With some kind of a shirt, long sleeve shirt underneath?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And boots?
Kept a denim jacket on hand if you needed a jacket. But
did you wear boots?
Well, yes, lace.
Because
You had to climb ladders.
Yeah.
And he said he'd set the ladders for me. So, I had it made.
Good. And your husband was doing what?
He worked at the cherries also.
I see.
And then the men could pick peaches. They didn't let the women work on those. But anything that showed much color, they had to touch out. And it was on a plowed ground. So, being economic on time's kind of hard. I asked if I could pick those up and trim them and can them. So we had tents for camp stoves, so I canned peaches to take home with us.
Now when you said showed color, you mean they were a little too ripe?
Yes.
And they wouldn't ship well.
They wouldn't ship well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, that's what we did. Mm-hmm. Some friends went with us. There were two couples of us for that. And then we all got into teaching after a while. My family, being the time that it was, when they grew up for school, college, we had moved to, around as teachers have to. We were at Harrisburg, well, really we were at Glendale in Southern Oregon when my first boy was born. And then the next boy was 8 months old when we moved to Harrisburg. That's 9 miles from Halsey, from where I was born. And the kids got through school, and we went to Southern Oregon then for my youngest boy to finish. And he had 2 years of school left when I decided that it was most important to get those kids through college than it was for me to work on college. I started with the correspondence with Extension and you know, the extra classes I gave, night school, that's what I did. Anyway, two boys in college at the same time. Somebody had to do something at home. So we bought a little farm in the Willamette Valley. When we were in Harrisburg, it was only 9 miles down to where the farm was. It was a farm that the older people were losing because they couldn't pay the mortgage. So I don't remember just how we got interested in that, but somebody told us that they were losing it. So with a family of boys, rather than having them in town just to run around, we bought this little farm of 163 acres. And
that doesn't sound so little to me.
For the boys to be.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But it kind of turned out that it was kind of a place for me. You couldn't get help that would be any help in those kind of days, or that you could afford to pay. So I took care of the farm.
All right.
I had heard on the radio that there was one family that decided they would save some money. So she saved dimes. You know, you dealt with coin then. Now you don't do that very much.
Not so much, no.
Anyway, after telling the family about what I had heard on the radio, they laughed at me. You're going to have every dime this family gets. So I took them up on it. And then I had $100 collected before too long, and I saw an ad in the paper for 10 sheep, $10 a piece. So I said, I'm going up there. So I went up, and they were 4-H sheep. So I bought them. And he said, here's Grandma. I'll throw her in. She probably won't make it through the year, but here's Grandma. So anyway, I had 11 sheep. And everybody got interested in my sheep. So Dad took them down to pasture on his ryegrass. And he lived only a mile from where we were, where the farm was. And pastured my sheep. That first year, the whole 10 had twin lambs.
Oh.
And Grandma had one black one.
All 10 were female. How amazing.
Yes. Anyway.
Who was the ram? Where'd you get the ram?
Yeah, that was taken care of before I got them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did you know they were pregnant when you bought them?
Mm-hmm. So that's the way my sheep picture started. Then I had, of course, those lambs grew up, and I sold what would go. Some went for Easter lamb, and some, of course, were a little later, but then there was wool coming up, too. So anyway, Dad advised that it's wise to sell your lambs and then just keep your wool from the others and buy some more sheep. So that's what I did. I bought some more sheep. And I was staying on the farm, taking care of the farm and the sheep, too. Some winters were pretty bad on them. They have sleet storms, you know, and the lambing time, you had to get out there and take care of them.
Yes.
But then I didn't mind. They were dumb sheep. But we had names for most of them. The kids got interested, too. So.
Now, where was your husband by that time?
He was teaching.
But not nearby?
At Harrisburg, and then I just come down to take care of the sheep.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, the summers we spent on the farm, because we could put in the crops then. And I did what I could during the day, and then it was kind of tough because sometimes they'd work at night, made my day kind of long, but I got through it. But I went on with sheep till I decided that was enough sheep. And so kids were in college. We had two boys in college at the same time at Oregon State. And it was just impossible in even those days for kids to work enough the summertime to put themselves through school. So the crops on the farm helped get our kids through school. They brought their laundries home on weekends. take it back. There was another thing needed to be done. But I decided it was more important that they get their education. Then I'll think about mine. So the younger boy was 6 years younger than his next brother. And so there was a little leeway between the others graduating. But they turned out to be teachers too.
Good.
So here's the youngest boy. And we were in Prospect at that time. And then I had some private music lessons that I was giving, piano and organ. And I got drafted into taking the school music. Of course, music teachers were scarce, very scarce. Anyway, they had this started by a fellow that just came up missing and just didn't show up. So he was reported missing, and we never did hear what they did about him. Evidently, they found him. Well, I kind of discovered why he made a getaway. His vodka bottle was in the bottom desk drawer. So anyway, I took the band and the music for the school. And next summer, I went to school. Of course, my youngest boy then was a sophomore in high school. And he finished school there. Then he went to Southern Oregon, Ashland.
Yes.
For school. So he was farther from home, but could get home, which he did often enough for me to get some laundry. And the fact that I was filling in the music department helped on getting him through school too, which was a big help. But when there was anything to do, we all pitched in to do it, because time was limited for working at home. You just fit that around school. School didn't take, it took first place on everything. And eventually he graduated, and teacher too. So his teacher had told me that she came into the room one day while he was in a school at senior in Prospect, and they were making these airplanes of paper, getting them balanced to see how far they'd fly.
Yeah.
And she stepped in the door, and one of them hit her. And of course, it was my son that made it. So she said, she pointed her finger and she says, "Well, you'll give a report tomorrow on aerodynamics for this class." So I thought it was kind of funny that he was looking up aerodynamics when he came home. But nothing more was said about it. And I said, "Well, that's good. It's something instructive. And you should learn something from it." So he gave the report, and she said that he gave the report, she started to take over the class, and he opened it up for questioning. And she said they got so interested, he was interested, and the kids were interested, that it took up the whole class time. And so I asked him afterwards, "How did you like it? How did it go?" He said, "You know, that was fun. It kind of made me decide that I'd like to be a teacher."
Very good.
So, anyway, he turned out to be a teacher.
Yeah. Are both sons still teaching?
They have all retired.
Oh.
Except our son in Canada. He went to Canada in about 66. Teachers were scarce up there.
Yes.
So he went up with another couple of teachers, and they got jobs. So that next year, the district sent him down to Oregon to recruit teachers. So they took quite a few Oregon teachers up to Canada on that. They were better qualified, they said, and of course they got better pay.
Did his going to Canada have anything? Did that have anything to do with what was going on in Vietnam?
I don't know. I really don't know. There's quite a few Americans up there now.
Was he of draft age at that time?
No.
Older?
Mm-hmm. The youngest boy spent his time in the Army, but he had a teaching job before he got out.
Oh, I see.
So somebody evidently knew him or knew about him.
Uh-huh.
He did well in the Army. He took it like it was a job.
It sounds as though you have admirable sons.
Well, we have. Really. They never caused
us any... You've been proud of them.
Never caused us any trouble.
Wonderful.
And I was just wondering how many years our family put in the teaching field. I thought I started out with a little paper where I'd written it down. Well, if I can't find that, I know what it is. My husband taught 45 years. My next son taught 41 years. This is the first year he isn't teaching. The next son was administrator, as was my husband, for 35 years. He retired before he had to, age-wise, and Donnie has just retired, and he had 36 years, and I had 17 and a half. I got to school, got my credits in, had enough for a major in music, and came up to Eastern Oregon for my last term, because my husband and I had been apart so much of the time with my fooling around with school, and when you're in school business, you don't have much time together either.
Yes.
So I thought, well, I'll just get my degree there. Lo and behold, I couldn't get it in music. They gave a major in music, but I had everything that they had on their list. I said, well, can I take some of it over? They said no, and I have to go to University of Oregon, but I didn't want to leave him for another summer because he needs to be there for the job, you know, one of those year-round ones.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just finished up here, but I had to shift to education major. And I did that. I thought, well, I can teach in that field and still teach music.
Sure.
So it's been that way. And one of the years I got drafted was at Culver. A young fellow had the job in the music department when I went to the University of Oregon. And he was up there. And he found out that I was going to be at Culver, so he asked me if I would accompany for his music. So I said, okay, that's fine. So that's what I was planning to do.
Where is Culver?
Uh-huh.
Where is it?
At Culver is between Madras and Redmond, in the Batolius area. Anyway, he started. I played for him for about a month. In the meantime, I had private students in piano. And then he came up missing one weekend. Didn't come back. And so my husband reported him missing. They finally found him in Montana. And he said, I'd rather feed pigs. So I had his job.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I struggled in and got my degree business finished up. But the kids had theirs, and everybody was happily married. And we have taught the family... years, 174 years.
Really?
Of teaching, collective.
It's remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
I was a teacher for most of my life, too.
Oh.
I started teaching fifth grade in Milton Freewater.
Oh, uh-huh.
I'm sure you remember many things about teaching in schools. What was one of your most satisfying experiences?
You mean about teaching?
Yes.
I think probably my programs for the community with my students. They turned out well. Everybody seemed to be pleased that every student was in something.
Now, this was band, orchestra, and chorus, maybe?
Yes, I loved all of it.
Can you remember what musical selections you might have on a program?
Depending upon the season,
sure,
quite a bit.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And I had, from little kids on through, little kids try to get something that they, everyday life type things. I had one little girl, a second grade teacher came in, she says, "Don't expect anything from Christy. She hasn't said a word to me since she's been here. But she just sits there. She doesn't say a word, so don't expect anything from her." So, all right, it was fall, and we sang that little song, going fishing, nothing better that I like, you know, how it goes and all of that. And this was about hunting season. And I said, is there anybody going hunting? Oh, yes, we're going hunting. So we said, we're going hunting, we finished that up. Pretty soon Christy stood up, and she said, "We went hunting." And she said, "We all went. And Dad had a gun," she said. "And we walked a long ways. We saw this little hill. And there was an animal up there. Dad saw it. Dad shot. And we all went up there. And it was a horse." And the little kids, oh, I got about 42 in there. And the little kids, "Oh, a horse." Christy said, "A horse," and we couldn't even eat a horse. That was one of the funny things.
Yeah. All because of that song.
For I suppose it just got her loosened up.
Yeah.
So she would do it.
Did she talk more after that?
Yes, she did.
Good.
She seemed to be one of the group.
Yeah. A good example of what music can do.
Yeah. In college, I wrote quite a long, detailed thing on music therapy. And I don't know, I guess I let, I don't know how it happened, that maybe I just gotten it back from school, and one of the parents was there. And she read it, and she was interested in it, wanted her daughter to read it. So I said, "Ellen, your mother, the next day at school, your mother wanted you to read this." So I gave it to Ellen, and she read it. And she is still working in music therapy in California, at Napa.
What was one of your ideas about music therapy?
Oh, sort of that it's a universal language, that everybody understands it. They get something from it, gives them a feeling, gives moods, can change moods.
Almost as necessary as food. Music is nourishing.
Yes.
Yes. Are you still involved with music in some way?
Well, I don't really call it involved. I'm accompanying for a lady here that plays violin.
Good.
And I play for church. I guess I grew up doing that.
Yes. Do you have a piano here you can practice on?
I have my piano.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
In your apartment?
Yes.
Very good.
I put it in instead of a second bed.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It's just something to do. My granddaughter wants my piano awfully bad. But
is it an upright?
Yes.
A grand piano would be nice, but it wouldn't fit in there, I'll bet.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't. I have an organ, too.
Where is that?
Just because it's down at my house in North Powder.
Oh, I see.
I thought about selling it, but you know, there's so many organs on the market nowadays. Most people are wanting something in the quick. They can turn on most of it.
Yeah.
Play with one finger.
Uh-huh. Electronic organs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I may just end up bringing it up here.
Now, how did you get to North Powder?
How did we get there?
Yeah, how did you happen to go there?
Well, let's see, how did we happen to? Went there from Southern Oregon. My husband was born at Dayton, Washington, and he always had kind of a feeling he wanted to get back to the dry country.
Uh-huh.
So he put out some applications, and he said, he came down one day, and I was working with music, and he said, well, I've got a contract for Huntington, if I want it, and I could. The cement floor, but I felt like I was about to go through it. But anyway, I said, well, fine, if that's what you think you want. He says, well, we'll think about it, and then I'll let him know.
Is that for to be superintendent there?
Is there what?
Was that to be superintendent in Huntington?
Yes, yes. Anyway, we went there, and I don't know how I happened to get the job there, but I did. So I had to let my private students, I just couldn't keep up on both of them.
What job did you get there?
What?
What job did you get there?
Music.
In the school?
I've always had music.
I see.
Seemed like there just were not music majors.
And so you taught there for several years?
8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I couldn't stand it when we first went there. It was, got there on July the 2nd. And moved into a place where the former superintendent had lived. Never had seen it, but we met him at a restaurant, and on a napkin he drew a pattern of the house. And I thought, well, it surely can't be too bad. Well, I needed another thing. I got up to the back door when we got to backed up the truck to the back door. It was on the hillside, steps off the front and been against a hill, and waded through the thistle fire in my head, got the back door started to open it and looked down. There was a snake skin about that wide, yay long across the step with diamonds in it.
Uh-huh.
Well, I kind of had to scoot that thing out of the way to make myself get it unlocked. But it was less than comfortable. Opened the door and there was Paladin all over the wall.
There was what over the wall?
Paladin.
Paladin?
Yeah, a horse.
Oh, you mean a picture?
Wallpaper.
Wallpaper.
And a great big pattern. About bars from here to that wall when you open the door. So that had to come out, and we redid the house and made it presentable. But I had trouble getting used to black widows and scorpions.
Yes,
in the house.
I think so.
Turning the plates upside down.
And 8 years of that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you left there, you went to North Powder?
Yes.
And that was into retirement?
Yes. I said to Kenneth one morning, after we had done a lot of looking in different places, he had said he would like to go to Lewiston to retire. And I said, no way. I said, I'd go to Willamette Valley. He said, no way. So at breakfast, I said, well, why don't we buy some of this sagebrush, get it cleared off, and get us a double wide? We built one house in 50 and 60 with the help of my dad, and why don't we just get an easy way out this time? So that was what we decided to do, and we're perfectly happy with it.
And you put it in North Powder?
Yes, it's at North Powder. And we just started, it was, the city put the water and sewer in, and You just started from scratch.
Now, you say you still own that house?
Yes.
Why are you here?
My husband was not well. And he had a open heart surgery.
Sure.
And while it did him a lot of good, it wasn't perfect. And he had to come into the doctor 2 and 3 times a week. And while I don't mind driving, and I'm not complaining about it, Bad Canyon is not a very good place to negotiate in bad road conditions.
That is right.
And I lucked out for several years that I did that. And then I came in one day, and there were 4 wrecks over there. One, we came out of a whiteout, and trucks were just flipping. And 3 of them before they got into Lad Canyon, just as you started into the whiteout, and I was coming out of it. And I said, Kenneth, look, I can't look. So he says, well, there's 3 wheels straight up. And I heard that there was one that had gotten into the canyon before he wrecked. And that day I said, well, said to the nurse, I think the highway will be stopped when we get ready to go back. So after Kenneth was treated, we decided to go back through Union. And before I got to Union, there was a big station wagon down off of that high grade. And then over here was a UPS truck and a small black car just within feet of each other on the other side of the big grade. So I crept through that and got home after a long drive and decided, well, it was just not a pleasant trip. So doctor talked us into coming up here.
I see.
And it's a good arrangement for somebody that needs to be closer to town. Mm-hmm. I lost my husband just about a year ago.
Okay.
But it was good for him in that I could get him to the doctor much mm-hmm. easier.
You enjoy living here?
Yes, I do. I didn't want to give up my home. And I still don't want to. I planned to live down there.
Oh.
But my husband didn't want me to. And the boys don't want me to. Being alone
yeah.
is, I can see it. It isn't good for anyone to be alone.
But you still have a hope that you might live there again?
No, we're going to sell it. The boys are coming down either the week before Mother's Day or the week after. I expect both of them, knowing what there is to do down there. But there's enough there. It's even furnished, so we could sell it furnished or unfurnished. So I guess that's what we'll do.
And what do you like about living here?
It's close to town.
Yeah.
People. There's some awfully nice people here. And there's some that, you know, you just visit with them.
Yeah, yeah. And quite a number of activities, if you want them.
Yes, but much more than I can take in. I play pinochle, but I could do a lot of other things that are offered. But the same things are offered week after week, so you can kind of string them out if you want to. I like to sew, but I'm not a person that thinks that stuffed animal type things, and so much of our sewing nowadays is that sort of thing. I didn't allow my youngsters to have that. I felt like they were not very sanitary.
I think you're
That's
right.
That's just my opinion.
Sure, sure. Would you rather be sewing a shirt or a coat?
Oh, yeah.
Or something useful?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or embroidered crochet.
Uh-huh.
I gave away 11 napkins this last Christmas.
Yeah. Wonderful. Are you still driving a car?
Yes, I am.
It sounds as though your health is quite good.
What?
Your health is quite good.
It really isn't.
Oh. You seem fine.
I've inherited asthma.
Yes.
And I have constrictive bronchial disease.
Yes.
Very little lung capacity. Uh-huh. And diabetes.
Do you use an inhaler for asthma?
Yes, and I take nebulizer treatments 3 times a day on my own.
Well, that,
insulin.
The asthma treatments work fairly well, don't they?
Yes. I think it really is what keeps me going.
Yes.
I am subject to pneumonia. I've had it twice since I've been here. I just seem to pick it up somehow.
Yeah. You have to go to the hospital then?
I was 16 days in the hospital last April. I was only there a couple of days and they let me do my own medications at home this time. Worked out fine for me.
Good. Apparently you don't have any financial difficulties.
Well, no, but I don't want it to have.
Right. So you're very careful with your money.
Yes, I am.
Of course, I'm sure you learned to do that throughout your life.
Yes.
It doesn't sound as though you ever was were in a situation where you had a lot of money to spare.
Spending money like kids have now.
Right.
It's
right.
Too bad.
Yeah.
Depression, we got along fine, but I question how some of our young people today would get through a situation like that.
I feel the same way about it.
Mm.
My main growing up was during the Depression years, the 1930s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember very well.
Yes,
how we scrambled for money.
Mm-hmm. Well, the bad thing about that, when banks closed, we lost money in the Glendale Bank when we were there some of our first years. Bank didn't open. We never got our money. We got, and pay was something like $90 a month. We managed to live on little because I can pretty much make do with what I have or can get. People were good about saying, I've got extra berries on the bush. Do you want to pick them?